Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
To Amazing Avenue Audio, the show live from the Vine and Barley in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I am here with my friend, my co-host, my roommate for the weekend, Mr. Chris McShane.
Yes, we are. I am finally here.
Yes.
Slightly delayed arrival, but I'm here.
Yes, I arrived on Wednesday. Chris arrived today. And we had a pretty good day today.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that sort of in a bit, but a little bit of Mets news for y'all out there. When we last spoke, Brandon Nimmo maybe had a heart condition. People were very worried about it.
Yes.
Turns out it's an irregular heartbeat he knew about for a long time. He played today. He seems fine.
Yeah, no, he looked great. Everything that they gave in terms of the update was
positive.
It was routine, essentially. And, not something that should affect him in terms of playing or more importantly, his
life.
Right.
Yeah.
that's good. It would be concerning with anybody on the roster, but to have the happiest guy on the team have a serious health issue would have been probably one of the most depressing things you could do. So
his official statement to the media today was that it's because he has a lot of love to give that his heart was bigger.
Yes.
Which is, bullshit, right. but like adorable Nimmo bullshit. So
right, yeah, exactly. So it was good to see him out there, just playing.
Yeah,
you get down here and then you can very easily romanticize everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are no consequences to what happens in a game, which we'll get to more of that later on.
Yes,
certain plays that you can laugh about more because it was spring training. I have to say, walking around the ballpark today was kind of nice. I've been here for spring training games where people, I don't know if it's alcohol or what, but get on the Mets.
For not winning a game?
Right.
Or for striking out or something?
Right, yeah. Like get on them like these games our regular season games are even more important than that. Baseball has this unique culture of over a month of exhibition games. And I know football has it for that same amount of time, but it's not as constant.
No, it's not.
You know, like almost every day for 3.5-4 weeks leading up to opening day, you have this, you know, Florida, Arizona environment of constant baseball, but it's constant baseball practice. So,
and now that those games are broadcast,
right?
Like it's hard as a fan to, and you can do it intellectually, but like when you're watching a game on TV, you want it to matter, and so you think these things have consequence, but they really don't.
Right.
Like the Mets won today's game 3-2. That means nothing.
Right.
Most of the runs were scored after the starters were out, and it essentially became a minor league game at a certain point.
Right.
And so the Mets won a minor league game. Cool. Yeah.
I do have to say, Andrew Miller looked awful.
Oh, he couldn't find the plate.
Yeah. That was, I think he only gave up a run in his outing, but that, the way he was pitching, it could have very easily been more.
Yeah, he couldn't find the strike zone. He hit two players in a row.
So you're hearing our background music here at the Vine and Barley.
Yes. There's a guitar player and vocalist here who's been singing and playing, but now there is a random person from the audience singing lead.
Yeah.
Or attempting to sing lead, I guess we should say.
Yeah.
And they've abandoned that song. Okay. So probably for the better. So, you know, we had a pretty fun day at the ballpark today. We got to see a little bit of the workouts in the backfield. Was there any player that you, like, really were hoping to see today that we didn't get to see in the backfield?
Not one specifically, just because I guess the timing of it all, for me, it was kind of, I think tomorrow will be a little bit more, you know, we get out there, whoever's throwing bullpens, whoever's taking batting practice, that kind of thing. One of my favorite things about being down here is during workouts, if you're situated really anywhere with the four backfields that all come up in like in a corner against each other, just sitting there during batting practice, and you know, you'll watch whatever field you're watching, but just tune out, listen, and like the constant random batting practice, like crack of the bat sound. Uh-huh. I actually noticed it more doing some interviews back there early on coming down here, where I'm listening to the recording of talking to somebody, and it's just like, oh man, this, yeah, that like that background was just so soothing. I know a friend of mine that I brought it up to was like, I'm surprised that's not in like a sleep, machine, or you know, whatever the name is for that kind of thing.
A white noise maker or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could listen to batting practice to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would fly for everybody, but including everybody in my own home, but but I could, you know.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting prospects are probably the guys who are seeing time in the major league fields.
Yeah.
This spring. But you know, I don't know what kind of schedule Allen and Peterson are on, but you know, catching them, pitching prospects have always, the pitching side of things always has interested me. So I guess, you know, we'll see. Today, we didn't catch anybody pitching at all.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We were talking about this a little bit at the game today, how there's no one in the Mets system right now that we're expecting to, like, have a great spring and then make the team. Everybody on the team, there are a lot of very set roles, and there are some folks who are fighting for roles, but there's not that, like, 22-year-old prospect who might make the jump this year. We're getting now some extra vocals on this Turn the Page cover.
Right. But yeah, it's not like the Mets don't have a shortstop, and Jimenez is
right.
Is the guy? Oh, maybe he'll be close. Maybe he can come up in a few months.
Right.
You know, maybe independently, maybe that will be true of him.
Right.
I think one thing watching him today, out there. You know, he hit a home run. Looked good. Looked like he enjoyed it.
Yes.
And, you know, he's young. He doesn't turn 22 until September, so it's his age 21 season this year. And last year was his age 20 season, and he had time. He played it in Double A. Like,
right.
That's, he didn't like totally dominate or impress, but he was very young for where he was at.
So, yeah.
You know, our minor league guys can speak better to his path and all
sure,
that, but
sure.
It was just kind of like, this dude is still young.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was nice to see him today. I mean, we got to see a lot of Tim Tebow today.
Yeah. Everybody saw. He played the full game.
He did.
Which is rare in spring training. But, again, there's no consequences, but one of the opportunity to catch a routine fly ball to end what was a very quick spring training game.
Yes. I believe like 3:40 it ended, maybe.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah. Like 2.5 hours.
That's, yeah. But he fell flat on his face. And it was it his shoelace that got him?
Well, he bent down to tie his shoelace.
Right.
Whether that was actually the problem or that was just the cover-up, you know, we'll never know, I suppose. But, yeah. Tebow seems like I was telling Chris before, like in BP yesterday, Tebow had one of the most impressive BP sessions, but he can't make contact and he can't play the outfield. And so I don't really know what you do with Tebow as a prospect. I mean, look, he's pretty much there to sell Port St. Lucie tickets this time of year.
Right. And then Syracuse tickets.
Or wherever he is. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. But he doesn't have any path to the majors at all.
Right.
And that's, I guess, I mean, you need minor league filler, but the problem is if he's blocking the path of somebody who might have an actual career or even just blocking the path of somebody who needs this job in a way that he doesn't need this job, I feel a little bit bad for that person he's blocking.
Yeah. I mean, right now, prospect-wise, there's not a whole lot going on in the outfield.
No. But his spot would be taken by somebody else if he wasn't there.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's definitely interesting to see, especially in Florida, you know.
Yeah.
People coming out. He's definitely a draw down here.
He has to be one of the most popular Mets in camp, major league or minor league. He's one of the most popular Mets in camp.
Right.
Which is crazy. But yeah, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
So let's do this. We're gonna take a break for a second here. We're gonna play my very short chat with Doc Gooden from earlier today.
Yes.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
All right. So you're down here at spring training. It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
What do you like from this Mets staff so far?
Well, I like it. My main thing is they're healthy. That's the most thing I worry about. They being down here, I'm still a huge fan. And always ask guys, how you feeling? Are you healthy? Because I don't look too much at stats down here. Both mm-hmm. they're healthy and making progress leading up to opening day, you know, season starts. That's what I look for.
Yeah. Is there one pitcher in particular you think is going to have a great year this year, just a breakout season?
I think, you know, everybody's waiting for Syndergaard to make that step. He definitely has the stuff. I watched him pitch the other day, do real well.
He was great the other day.
Yeah.
Great.
Getting the ball quick, you know, maintaining.
His slider looked fantastic that day, too.
Yeah, especially for this time of spring.
Absolutely, yeah.
Early. I think with him, you just got to just maintain. Just keep building. Don't get compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep building. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. Now, you're one of the few Mets to have won a Cy Young Award, and now DeGrom has won two. How is he just on a different level right now than other pitchers? What's going on with him?
It's amazing. You know what? And not to take any blowing smoke, but last year I want to take credit for calling that because when he won the first Cy Young at the Writers' Dinner, I gave him his award. And I said, this guy's only getting better. And then he won another one. So not to put any pressure on him, but hopefully he keeps it going. But the thing with him, everything is just nice and smooth. He has an idea what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
He reads bat speeds real well.
Mm-hmm.
And he just takes what he gets. And once he gets in trouble, he has the ability to turn up a notch.
Yeah. What about Stroman? Stroman's starting today for the Mets. Is there anything about him that you think he can do to take it to the next level this year?
I think with him, even though they have interleague now, but coming to nationally last year was a bit of adjustment. Playing at home probably a bit of adjustment. Mm-hmm. I think with his, you know, leadership, he's been around for a while. He's a veteran. I think he'd definitely take it to the next level. For him, it's just about staying healthy the same way and just taking the ball every fifth day.
Nice. Last question for you. Of all the Mets hitters, which one would you be least likely to face? Which one would have scared you the most as a pitcher going right up against them? Yeah.
Probably McNeil.
Yeah, because he puts the ball everywhere.
He's a contact hitter. Uh-huh. He's somewhat of a free swinger, mm-hmm. but also, if you make a mistake, he has power to hit out of park.
Absolutely.
So he'll be the guy.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we are back here on Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff we saw today. We saw Marcus Stroman warming up today,
yeah,
which was a very cool thing to watch.
Yes, and there's I will have to follow up on this, but there's not Phil Regan, but another longtime instructor or coach or both on the pitching side of things in the Mets organization who was out there. Around the bullpen in the stadium as Stroman was doing his sort of routine.
It's like a weird hybrid of yoga and super long toss.
Yeah.
And other and traditional warm-up stuff.
Right, but it's just this, it's very unique. And, you know, there's this long-time baseball dude was, like, raving about it, you know. Unprompted, I just went out there with my camera to take photos. You know, Wilson Ramos was out there, Stroman's out there. So I'm just going out there, taking some pictures, and unprompted, he's, you know, turns and says to me, like, oh, you know, 25 years, I've never seen anybody warm up like this. And not in a bad way at all. Just like, this is different. This is unique. You know, to the other guys in the bullpen, as he's doing it, he's turning to them and saying, like, check this out. You know, I think it's very easy for people to get, and this is more general, like, society stuff, but it's very easy for people to get generational.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I'm not even intentionally not saying a name, but, like, in the media room today, there was somebody, like, complaining about millennials.
Yep.
And it's just like, is our background music right now auto-tuned country? Oh, my God.
I believe it is, yeah.
But, yeah. but my point is that somebody who is of a senior age and has been in baseball for a long time, admiring Stroman doing something that's unorthodox, was kind of a cool, like, a cool little moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's such... it's a game that can really rest on this, like, old-school mentality with things. And I don't know. I feel like Stroman's this guy who has this unique personality. And obviously, you know, performance on the mound is the primary thing that you want.
Sure, yeah.
But if he pitches reasonably well, this is a guy who you think I'd love to see him stick around.
Yeah.
You know? It's unique personalities who perform well are like the easiest fan favorite recipe.
Yeah, and especially because he is, I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, you see he can be a bit a bit crunchy for my taste, maybe we'll say. Like, you know, he's very much into some new agey stuff. But in terms of the opinions presented by ball players on Twitter, I'll take like holistic crunchy hippie any day.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
over
yeah.
Most of the stuff that players are saying, you know.
Right.
And so I think it's a good thing that we have diverse voices on the Mets and in baseball, and his voice is certainly unique from the batch, and that's awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, and it's you know, in the context of like even within this episode, you know, Doc Gooden being on with your chat with him and him being around the complex today, you know, there's you think of, you know, African-American ball players and pitchers, and you know, it's still relatively rare, and it's something that Curtis Granderson has, you know, spent time and money and his energy, you know, pushing for, you know, for trying to
right
help correct that a little bit. You know, so to have somebody who's still relatively new to the organization, you know, he only came on board for like the really fun
three
part
months,
of 2019.
Yeah.
And has local roots and has a unique personality. You know, when back when he was with the Blue Jays, he had the knee injury that not only did he rehab and come back faster than expected, but while he was out, he went back. I think it was at Duke, right? Whatever university. I think it was Duke.
Uh-huh.
But whatever school it was, went back, finished his degree because he was hurt and, like, wanted to, hey, all right, I'm out of commission. I can finish my education.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, and it's, you know, it's just a lot of unique stuff. And I, you know.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing him out there just warming up in a way that nobody else does.
Right, yeah.
Know? And I think over the years, the unique pitchers have really stood out. Bartolo Colon.
Uh-huh.
Ari Dickey. Those are really the two best examples I have.
I mean, Turk Wendell?
Yes, yeah, okay, yep.
I'm trying to reach back into the memory banks here a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think the Mets are a good team for the unique player. And I feel like a team like the Yankees oftentimes tries to homogenize their team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whereas the Mets have always sort of embraced the weirdos a little bit. And I mean that in the best possible way.
Right.
And so, like, let these players be unique. Let them do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Especially because the Mets oftentimes as an organization fail to recognize what makes the Mets the Mets. But I think the unique personalities are part of what makes the Mets who they are, and so embrace that.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a really good band named after a Mets reference.
Yes, there are a couple.
More than one. But
Yola Tango is the one you're speaking
yes.
of. Yes.
And that was, you know, from a different era. But, yeah, I love that, and, you know, To the future Mets owner who may, probably not, but may be listening.
Yeah,
sure. to the Amazing Avenue listener, reader who has billions of dollars.
Literal billions.
Yeah. But embrace that. You know, let the Yankees be the corporate. You know, everybody's got to follow the same rules about their hair and all that kind of stuff. And then just embrace the opposite. Like, obviously, go after good players first.
Right.
You know, but if your team's going to have more of, like, a, you know, Lower East Side, Bushwick, whatever kind of vibe, that's fine.
But I think that, like, even though the Mets, like, David Wright was not a weirdo, right? David Wright was, like, as straight-laced a guy as possible.
Yeah.
But it felt like he was being true to who he was on the team.
Right.
Like, he was never putting on airs for anything. That was who David Wright was. And I feel like Pete Alonso, similarly, is not, like, a hip, edgy guy.
Right, no.
But he's totally true to who he is.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see. Is I want to see these players able to embrace their true selves for us.
Yeah. And I love that Alonzo's thing is like wow. Like, huh, I get to play baseball today. Like, I love that. Like, that is genuinely a good thing.
Yes.
You know, I wish everybody had that.
Yes.
You know, approach.
He's part of a cookie club.
Yes.
So, that's all you can say. So, we got to see Andrés Giménez hit a pretty great home run today. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Any other highlights of the game today? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should say who's joining us.
Tebow, yeah. So, people who have read the site for years.
He just tweeted about us. Look at that.
What's that?
Tim just tweeted about us.
Yeah. With Tim Finnegan, who you've read pitching analytics pieces on Amazing Avenue over the years. Also, who's in town, stopped by.
Yes. Say hi, Tim.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
He's been sitting here very patiently, very quietly, as we've been podcasting. But he mentioned Tim Tebow falling down today. And so so it's the bottom of the ninth. I happened to be standing next to Brody Van Wagenen at this time. And we were talking about just other things. And then the pop-up came to Tebow. And Tebow just
ate it,
fell down. We were talking, I think, off-air. About how we kind of felt sorry for him a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Just because, like, it's 5,000 people laughing at you. But it was a pretty embarrassing moment. But I think it's actually a very important moment, as it might remind fans that he's not a major league player. You know, he just isn't. He doesn't have the hit tool. He doesn't have the outfield skills. I mean, look, he changed paths pretty far into a professional sports career. I couldn't do anything of what he does. This is not a personal attack on Tim Tebow, but he's probably never going to be even a mediocre baseball player.
Right, yeah, the major league level, I think that's realistic, you know? I mean, to be able to put up numbers that he has, not playing baseball for 10 years in his early 30s,
right.
It's impressive, and it's just really tough to turn that into,
yeah,
you know, especially on a team that has potentially 4 or 5 really good hitters.
Who may not be great outfielders
right.
at this point, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, it's...
Whether it's G.D. Davis or Michael Conforto or Brandon Nimmo or
Yoenis Cespedes, right,
you know,
yeah.
There's, yeah, or Dominic Smith, you know,
yeah.
Who's technically an outfielder sometimes, even though his skill. Yeah, Matt Adams,
Matt
there
Adams,
you go, Tim.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what else happened today?
I think we hit on all the biggest points.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Smith made an error at first base that Stroman
yes.
wound up getting out of.
Right, yeah. Stroman had the bases loaded with, I think, no one out.
Yeah,
didn't and wound up getting out of the inning. And based on like a weak hit, a botched double play, and a. A botched David Wright style barehanded grab
at
third.
That happened. Right, McNeil went to barehand. Was it a bunt or a slow roller? I don't remember.
Yeah, but he didn't give him any hard contact that inning, and loaded the bases, then got out of it, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He didn't give up a monster of a home run to Paul Goldschmidt,
yeah.
Stroman, but you know
that
happens to the best of us. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that opposite field, no doubt. Like those
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Those are always impressive.
Yeah. Well, I know we didn't talk about this. Do you have a music pick you can talk about today? We listened in the car to some music of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go with an older record.
Go for it.
King of the Road, Fu Manchu. Originally, I was supposed to be down here for 4 days. I'm here for like 36 hours. two baseball days and one night.
Yeah.
In the sports car rental that wound up being the
don't just say sports car. Say the color, make it
the red Camaro convertible. Yeah. Fu Manchu, king of the road. You really can't go wrong if you want to drive and have an album on. That is the.
It's a pretty good one.
It's the to me that's the answer.
That's a good pick. I'm gonna go with a pick that's a combo podcast pick and music pick.
Okay.
There's a new podcast called 36 from the Vault, and what it is they go through every other week and review and discuss one of the Grateful Dead's Dick's Picks. Records.
Yeah.
And so I have been I am the most casual of Deadheads. I play in a cover band that plays some Dead stuff, and so I have grown to appreciate the Dead, but I was not like a longtime listener or anything. And so Dick's Picks Volume 2 is the only single disc Dick's Picks record. And I think for those of us who maybe have a hard time with the general length of a Dead show, a single disc of Grateful Dead is a pretty palatable thing. Yeah. And I've greatly enjoyed it. So Dick's Picks Volume 2 by the Grateful Dead is my pick.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to end this show with my chat with Gary Cohen from earlier today. And we'll be back tomorrow. Maybe we'll record in the airport tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Go to AmazingAvenue.com. Read our spring training coverage and lots more. Tim, what's your Twitter handle?
You don't want to follow me, but in case you do, it's TimFin521.
Okay. Chris is at Chris McShane. I'm at Brian Needs a Nap. And we're going to enjoy the rest of our beers here at Vine and Barley. And until next time, enjoy Gary Cohen, and let's go Mets.
Yeah.
So, Gary, how many spring trainings is this for you now?
Well, this is my 32nd spring training with the Mets. I arrived in 1989, which was the second year that the Mets had moved here to Port St. Lucie. And I can say that things have changed in Port St. Lucie exponentially in those 32 years.
Yeah, I haven't been here in about 10 years, and I couldn't believe how different Port St. Lucie was today than it was, 10 years ago. You're getting prepped for the season. Obviously, you watch the team just about every day. What's standing out to you so far this spring?
Well, I think there's an enormous confidence here. With all the upheaval in the offseason with two changes in managers and all the conversation about potential changes in ownership, the fact of the matter is that this is a really good team, and they showed it at the second half of last year. I thought that was probably more indicative of the talent level that's here. You've got a terrific young core of position players. You've still got one of the best starting staffs in baseball. There are probably some more question marks now with Wheeler gone and Porcello and Waka trying to take those spots. But the bullpen can't help but be better than it was last year.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of confidence here. The difficult piece is that you still have four really good teams in this division, including the defending division champs and the defending world champs. So it's not going to be easy, but I think this team has a chance to be really good.
Now, you've been around Rojas a little bit this spring. What's your initial impression of him?
I didn't know Louie a lot from last year because he was really he wasn't very out front and he was pretty quiet. But I've had a chance to talk to him a lot going back to the day that he was introduced, and I am very impressed. And from the guys that I've spoken to, they have always been very impressed with his ability to communicate, his knowledge of the game, the fact that he's managed 8 years in the minors and 4 years in winter ball, I think is a huge plus, even though those things aren't necessarily emphasized as pre-qualifications to be a major league manager these days. I think there's an almost universal respect for him here, and I think he'll do extraordinarily well. Will he have bumps? Of course he will. Every first-time manager does. But I think his background is uniquely suited to allow him to figure out his way, and he's got a pretty good coaching staff around him.
Last question, not baseball related at all. I know you're a music guy. You talk about music on the broadcast a lot. What's in your car right now? What are you listening to?
Actually, my my Pandora is filled with an eclectic mix. There's a lot of 60s. There's a lot of late 70s, early 80s, new wave.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of Springsteen. There's a lot of Green Day. There's, it pretty much... yesterday I was doing a lot of listening to Cake.
I like Cake.
You know, short skirt, long
jacket.
That was one of my favorite songs. So I've got pretty wide ranging tastes when it comes to music.
So I have an idea. I want to pitch you, and you're going to pitch the Mets for me. Instead, you know, they have the president's race in Washington. They should do a Ramones race in Queens. Have the four big Ramones. Have Blitzkrieg Bop play. People will love it.
Yeah, but which drummer do you use?
Tommy.
Joey, Johnny, and Dee Dee are easy, but they had so many drummers.
Yeah, but Tommy's the original, man. You got to go with Tommy,
Marky,
right?
Marky
was there a long time. You're right about that.
So maybe you give them both the slot.
There we go. Have them alternate. Clem Burke played two shows with them.
Is that right?
He was Elvis Ramone for two shows.
I did not know that.
So maybe you can put Elvis out there once a year or so. All right, thanks, Gary.